Good morning and welcome to all the church family of Abbotsford Anglican St Andrews and all those who are joining us and listening in for the first time today. We are so pleased you can join us. My name is Karen Braga and I'm a member of the ministry team here at Abbotsford Anglican, and I will be leading us through our time of worship together this morning. You might like to follow along on the order of service that was emailed, or you can access it on our church website alongside this recording. Of course, you can simply listen and join in as you feel able. This morning, we will be remembering Jesus' final entry into Jerusalem as he moves towards the climax of his earthly ministry. On this Palm Sunday, we give thanks that this Jesus, hailed the King of Israel as he gloriously entered Jerusalem upon a donkey, is also our Lord and our King. And Trevor will be speaking more about that later in our time together. But as we begin, hear these words from Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So then, let's lift up our voices now as we lift up our hearts in praise of our Lord and King and sing together, Lift Up Your Heads. In Isaiah chapter 55, we read, Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have compassion on them and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We ought to admit our sins to God at all times, especially when we come together like this to give thanks for the benefits we have received from him, to offer the praise that is due to him, to hear his holy word, and to ask him to supply whatever we need. With this in mind, let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart in full assurance of faith and pray together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant, according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of our holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're now going to hear from God's word as David brings us the Bible readings.
Our two Bible readings this morning are from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, and John chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. Zechariah chapter 9, starting at verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The second reading is from John chapter 12, starting at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written. "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Church Over the Internet. If you're new or just visiting our website today to listen in, we want to welcome you, give you a special welcome. But to all our regular church members, it's great that you're tuning in and listening in. We trust again that over this Easter time, you are greatly comforted by hearing God's word and worshipping with those of us. Let me begin with just a prayer before we open the scriptures today that we just read to you. Almighty God and everlasting God, in tender love towards mankind, you sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death on the cross, that all mankind should follow the example of great humility. Grant that we may follow the example of his suffering and also be made partakers of his resurrection. And we ask this through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Now, you may have in front of you a sermon outline and some Bible study questions on that, and you'll find the Bible readings, the two Bible readings on that outline. But just again, turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, and then to John chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. I want to begin by just saying that at this time, at this particular time in all our lives, I actually think we'd all be lying if we said we were not a little afraid. I am. I can't see COVID-19. It's an unseen, indiscriminate enemy. My wife, Rosemary, and I are not elderly. She'll be glad to know that I've said that. But we're both presupposed to heart conditions. We are cautious about going outside, and both of us are in professions that seek to bring care to people. There will be those few Christians, none of us in our congregation, of course, but there'll be those few Christians who will tell me I lack faith and maybe think less of me, but I am a little afraid. And I'm afraid because I don't know what tomorrow will bring. The days are no longer normal and predictable. We live each day as it comes. And I'm feeling a little guilty too, staying at home while I hear on the news of another doctor, another nurse, dying of the disease in the care of others. I feel I should be out there too, being willing to put my life on the line for the sake of others. But I'm afraid. I gather you're wanting to remind me and put me at ease, and I thank you. Trevor, that's what we've been told to do, to stay at home, to stay safe, and to not go out or put ourselves in harm's reach or harm to others. But I'm feeling a little guilty and afraid. I think if we were all honest with ourselves, I think we're all feeling a little bit the same way. But I also think we're all feeling truly grateful. Truly grateful for those who, despite being afraid themselves, I think, are brave and caring for others like our doctors and nurses at the risk of themselves contracting the disease, getting sick and dying. Death is very real, and fear and guilt are very real. Our two Bible readings this morning are common readings from the Bible on this particular Sunday in the church year. The Sunday before Easter. We call this Christians Palm Sunday. You may have heard in the second reading the mention of palm branches, where it gets its name. For those members of St Andrew's Abbotsford, this church here, up the front of the church inside the building, let me just describe to you, we've placed two palm branches up against the wall under the cross, and also out the front of the church and around the church building. So to remind us of the one who in their humanity was afraid, but in their divinity was brave and cared for the lives of terminally sick mankind and saved them from death, eternal death, by taking on their sickness, dying himself in their place. Now I'm talking about Jesus, as you know, and the sickness I'm referring to is no medical condition, but a presupposed life issue that renders one at war with God, separated from him and life eternal, now and forever, without lasting meaning and purpose. This is the day, Palm Sunday, we remember this afraid but brave man who, knowing the certainty of his own death by caring for others, still went ahead with caring. That people like you and people like me might find solace for our fear, and forgiveness for our guilt, and not be afraid. About 500 years before Jesus appeared, the prophet Zechariah spoke of him. He spoke of him as the promised Messiah, the Jewish word for king, but not any earthly king, but God's appointed king, a perfect king. At the time the prophet spoke, it was good news, great news. The people longed for a leader who would do what was right all the time and make things right in the world all the time. They longed for a leader who would bring peace and an end to hostilities. They longed for a leader who was humble and had the interests of others at heart and not just their own. That king was coming, verse 9. And God asked his people to rejoice greatly there. In verse 9, to give a kind of a shout out to God, to tell of how good God is, for he always keeps his promises. For a time was coming when this king would come, and he will take away the chariots from Ephraim, verse 10, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations, and his rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Sounds wonderful. But you might be thinking, it's obvious, he hasn't come yet, because we still question if our leaders have our interests at heart and not just their own. We still long for peace and an end to hostility. And we still long for leadership to do that which is right all the time and make things right in the world. But the prophet spoke of two comings of the king, a first coming and a second coming. You will recognize him when he comes, said God, for he will, verse 9 there, come to you. And you will know what it is, who he is, for he will be righteous and victorious and lowly. And you will see him riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, in verse 12 there of John's Gospel, chapter 12, our second Bible reading there, look with me there. Some 500 years later, upon hearing that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, that was the time in the year when God's people remembered God saving them from slavery in Egypt under the leadership of their Savior, Moses. A crowd on the way, knowing what they'd seen and heard of him, believed Jesus to be that God-appointed, rescuing, perfect king that Zechariah prophesied. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel! And Jesus agreed. He was the right one, the righteous one, the one who would make things right, God's rescuing, perfect king. He found a young donkey, verse 14, sat on it and rode into Jerusalem. But what's important is to note there in verse 16. At first, or at that time, the disciples did not understand this. And if the disciples didn't understand it, then the crowds who shouted praise and waved palm branches, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel, didn't understand it either. The people and the disciples must have had a different expectation, understanding of Jesus as their king to that of Jesus. And we realize that when we read a week later on Passover Day, on what we call Good Friday, as Jesus stood before the Pharaoh-like figure of their Roman governor, Pilate, beaten, blooded, and mocked, the people see no hope in Jesus as their king and cry, crucify him, crucify him. And the disciples, afraid and guilty, flee and hide. I can only imagine as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that in his humanity, the controlled fear our Lord felt, knowing what lay ahead. But in his divinity, how brave he was to still care for the lives of terminally sick mankind, like myself and you, and be willing to be misunderstood, beaten, blooded, and mocked, and to save us from death, death eternal, separated from God, and all that's good forever by taking on our sickness and being willing to die himself, crucified in our place, I can only imagine. But truly, it brings about gratitude that despite the people and the disciples not knowing this, Jesus knew. And still for them and for us, Jesus got on that donkey, rode it into Jerusalem to die, that we might live. This is the day, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we remember this afraid but brave man, King Jesus, who, knowing the certainty of his own death by caring for others, still went ahead with caring, that people like you and me might find solace for our fear and forgiveness for our guilt and not be afraid. It's not surprising then that after Jesus had been raised victoriously from the dead, verse 16, that the disciples realized that these things that had been written about him and that these things had been done to him, that this was the right way, the righteous way, the victorious way, and the lowly way to make us right with God. That all that Jesus had done and been done to him was to bring an end to hostility with God and to proclaim peace with him to us. And so it's not a surprise that the Apostle John, one of those disciples who fled but later wrote this gospel, changed the words of the prophecy now fulfilled in Jesus from "Rejoice greatly," Zechariah 9:9, to "Don't be afraid," verse 15. We Christians, because of the work of Christ, know peace with God and are truly grateful. We invite you who may not know this peace to know this Easter comfort with us, to give a shout out to God, to tell how good God is, for he always keeps his promises. For a time is coming when this King will come again. And he will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations, and his rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Knowing this peace, this Easter comfort, let's not be afraid. Let me pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in your tender love towards mankind, you sent your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to willingly take our nature upon himself and to suffer misunderstanding, shame, and death upon a cross, that all mankind may know forgiveness and peace with you. Thank you. Because of Jesus, we rejoice greatly, for we don't need to be afraid anymore. Amen.
Thank you, Trevor. We're now going to join together and sing our next song. You might like to stand up and join us as we sing "Ride On in Majesty as All the Crowds Hosanna Cry."
Thank you.
Together, let us affirm with Christians across the ages what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I now invite Rosemary to come and lead us in our time of prayer together.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray the prayer our Father Jesus taught us to pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son and paving the way for our lives to be set free through Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you for what this day, Palm Sunday, stands for, the beginning of Easter week, the start of the journey towards the power of the cross, the victory of the resurrection, and the rich truth that Jesus truly is the King of Kings. We give you praise and honour, for your ways are righteous and true, and we worship you, for you are holy and just. And together we declare that your love stands firm forever and your loving kindness endures forever. Thank you that your ways are far greater than our ways, your thoughts far deeper than our thoughts. Thank you that you had a plan to redeem and make all things new. Thank you that your face is towards the righteous and you hear our prayers and know our hearts. Help us to stay strong and true to you. You opened our eyes to see your kingdom come here on earth. Forgive us for the times when we have gone about our own business, concerned with many things, oblivious to the needs of those around us, and oblivious to the call of your love in our heart. God of grace, equip us to be your servants, listening, eager, and ready. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence in our world. We hear of war, of pestilence, of famine and disease, of heartache, suffering, and death, and we are tempted to despair, to think that you have forsaken us and that you are powerless. Give us a vision of your entry into our world as the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. We pray that you will continue to uphold and bless Shine and Jessica Thomas at this time as they adjust to home assignment, especially with the changes they have needed to make to keep in contact with their link parishes. Please bless the work of InterServe International and supply their every need as teams try to maintain field ministries during the lockdown. We thank you that you reign supreme and that we are more than conquerors through the gift of Christ who set his face towards the cross in obedience to your will, and through his selfless act of dying for us that he opened the way to eternal life for all people in every land and every nation. Lord, you know the people in our congregation, our families and community with pressing needs, and we ask you for comfort and healing. Especially today, we pray for Lynn Clark as she recovers from heart surgery. And we pray today also for Laura, one of our playgroup mums, as she mourns the death of her husband, Jim, and for Hugh and Teddy, her two children who have lost their dad. We pray for those in our congregation and community who are finding it difficult during this time of isolation, for marriages that are in trouble, for relationships that are strained, and families that are stressed. For the leaders of every nation who continue to make vital decisions for the health and safety of all, we pray for Elizabeth, our Queen, Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, Gladys Berejiklian, our Premier, and all those in local, state and federal government, for police, healthcare workers, ambulance, fire and defence personnel. Great God of love and mercy, please bring new life and hope to all who experience darkness, grief or hardship. And we ask that you will give us patience, open hearts and creative minds that can reach out to our neighbours and friends in love and friendship. Living and life-giving God, your Son emptied himself to become one of us, even unto death. Deliver us from the fear of death and help us live in freedom of a deep faith in him who died for us. And we ask this in the name of our precious Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So be exalted, Lord, above the heavens. Let your glory cover the earth. Keep our nation under your care and guide us in justice and truth. Let your way be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Send out your light and truth that we may tell of your saving works. And hear our prayers, O Lord, for we put our trust in you.
Thank you, Rosemary. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I just ask you now just to turn briefly to your church bulletin. And inside there, you should see the notices that are coming up, Easter information, as well as news about and pastoral care. I draw that to your attention simply, but also during the week to think about thinking on what we've heard today in God's Word and sitting down with the Bible study and with God's Word and drawing near to Him. Again, I'm mindful of you all. Thank you for getting in contact with each other. Thank you for ringing each other up. We can't cover everybody, but Lord, it's just great to hear of people keeping in contact with each other. But if you do need anything, any help, please don't hesitate to give Janice, myself, or Karen a ring, and we will come to that help with you. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Trevor. Well, let's join together now and sing our final song. It's a song that reminds us of God's great love for us. It's called What Love, My God.
You came to the world. What love, my God, so gracious and extreme? 'Twas strong enough to come and fight for me.
And as we come to the end of our time together this morning, I hope you've been encouraged to continue to stand firm in your faith in Jesus, our Lord and King. So let us pray. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by his love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service and live this week in love to one another and to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.